What shall we teach? Books. 1. Cleansing needed. Should Christ enter our institutions for the education of the youth, he would cleanse them as he cleansed the temple, banishing many things that have a defiling influence. Many of the books which the youth study would be expelled, and their places would be filled by others that would inculcate substantial knowledge, and abound in sentiments which might be treasured in the heart, in precepts that might govern the conduct. 71. 2. Word of man. Man's words, if of any value, echo the words of God. In the education of youth, they should never take the place of the divine word. The words of men who give evidence that they have not a practical knowledge of Christ should find no place in our schools. They will be hindrances to proper education. 3. Infidel authors. Cold, philosophical speculations and scientific research in which God is not acknowledged are a positive injury. And the evil is aggravated when, as is often the case, books placed in the hands of the young, accepted as authority, and depended upon in their education, are from authors avowedly infidel. Throughout all the thoughts presented by these men, their poisonous sentiments are interwoven. The study of such books is like handling black coals. A student cannot be undefiled in mind who thinks along the line of skepticism. 4. Bible the test. The Bible is not to be tested by men's ideas of science, but science is to be brought to the test of the unerring standard. Yet the study of the sciences is not to be neglected. Books must be used for this purpose, but they should be in harmony with the Bible, for that is the standard. Books of this character should take the place of many of those now in the hands of students. 5. Many books unnecessary. I am given words of caution for the teachers in our schools. The work of our schools should bear a different stamp from that borne by some of the most popular of our institutions of learning. Many of the textbooks used in these schools are unnecessary for the work of preparing students for the school above. As a result, the youth are not receiving the most perfect Christian education. 6. Eliminate books containing error. The Lord requires our teachers to put away from our schools those books teaching sentiments which are not in accordance with His Word, and to give place to those books that are of the highest value. He will be honored when they show to the world that a wisdom more than human is theirs, because the master teacher is standing as their instructor. There is need of separating from our educational work an erroneous, polluted literature, so that ideas which are the seeds of sin will not be received and cherished as the truth. A pure education for the youth in our schools, unmixed with heathen philosophy, is a positive necessity. 7. Sift out every trace of infidelity. We need to guard continually against those books which contain sophistry in regard to geology and other branches of science. Before the theories of men of science are presented to immature students, they need to be carefully sifted from every trace of infidel suggestion. 8. Avoid books that confuse. It is a mistake to put into the hands of the youth books that perplex and confuse them. Never should books containing a perversion of truth be placed in the hands of children or youth. Let not our children, in the very process of obtaining an education, receive ideas that will prove to be seeds of sin. 9. Books to be prepared. Books should have been prepared to place in the hands of students that would educate them to have a sincere, reverent love for truth and steadfast integrity. The class of studies which are positively essential in the formation of character to give them a preparation for the future life, should be kept ever before them. 10. Compile books. In a night vision given me some years ago, I was in an assembly where our school problems were being discussed, and the question was asked, "Why has not appropriate matter for reading books and other lesson books been selected and compiled? Why has not the Word of God been extolled above every human production? Have you thought that a better knowledge of what the Lord hath said would have a deleterious effect on teachers and students? The mass of books which have been thought essential for school education contain erroneous principles, which, if carried into practical life, will lead the students into false paths, away from consecration to God, away from that knowledge which will live through endless ages."